All right, this is Jace coming to you once again from New York Comic Con. I'm here with writer T. Franklin. T, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So I always like to ask people the first time we have them on the show about their history with comics. Did you grow up reading comics? Like, how did you fall into this crazy world?
Yeah, I grew up reading comics. My cousin had comics, and I would always read them. It was just, I don't know, it was just something that was warm and fuzzy, I guess, and comforted me during my time of need, I guess. I don't know. Comics is a really cool thing, seeing superheroes. You know, it just sucked that there weren't people who looked like me in the comics. And then Vixen came along, and my whole world just blew up and changed, and it was just, I wanted to be her. You know, I'm still, I have the Vixen tattoo. Her name is Mari McCrae, but Vixen's name is Mari McCabe, you know? On Juke Joint, she has something like the Vixen totem on her. So, yeah, Vixen means a lot to me. Comics is awesome.
Now, have you ever sat down with Chuck Patton and told him about this love of Vixen?
No.
That would blow. I know Chuck, and that would blow him away. He would.
Really?
He would be flattered. Yeah.
Oh man, that would be freaking awesome. I would stumble over my words and everything.
You know, my pledge to you, if the three of us are ever at a show together, I will make that introduction.
Oh man, thank you so much. That would be freaking. Oh.
Well, I wonder if you could tell our listeners, you mentioned Juke Joint, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. First issue just dropped yesterday. But what about your previous work that our listeners may be familiar with?
So we have, my first work was in Nailbiter, issue 27. It's called The Outfit, edited by Gail Simone, drawn and colored by Juan Ferreira, and Taylor Esposito did the letters. I was actually 2015 at New York Comic Con. I was interviewing Joshua Williamson, and before I even got to start, he was like, "Do you want 4 pages?" And I'm like, "Wait, what?" One, I can't write. He was like, "Come on, T." I'm like, "All right, I'll take it." So it was a really wild experience. After he gave me that, you know, those 4 pages, I came downstairs to Artist Alley and I was like, "Hi Juan, I know you don't know me, but I do tweet you. Joshua Williamson, a nail biter, just gave me 4 pages. Can I hire you?" He was like, "Okay." And it was just so cool, and just, you know, he's an awesome dude. And that was my first introduction into the comics world. I wrote a story in Love is Love, the Eisner-winning anthology, and with Carla McNeil, she was the artist. And then Bingo Love happened. Bingo Love just
exploded.
It just blew up, right? It just exploded, and then people started to know who I am, which is really, really cool and amazing.
Yeah, and you, speaking of Bingo Love, it's what really kind of put you on the map, and it really kind of showed what love can be and how inclusive love is, right?
Yes.
Now with Juke Joint, really going the other direction, right? Like a complete other end of the spectrum, almost examining hate in a way. And unfortunately, hate can kind of be inclusive too, right?
Yes.
We all have that capability inside of us, right?
Yeah. I had to get all of my, you know, my anger and my trauma out, you know, when I was writing Juke Joint. It was like word vomit and just getting all of the anger and writing out. And I wrote Juke Joint back in 2015. So it took me, in 2 days, I wrote 3 issues because I just needed to get all of that out of me. So it's very, you know, it was therapeutic for me to write. Very cathartic writing Juke Joint.
And how would you describe the title to somebody who's not familiar?
I would say Juke Joint is American Horror Story Coven meets Law & Order SVU. If Olivia Benson from Law & Order SVU was a black woman, and instead of, you know, locking people up, she killed them. That's pretty much it.
And it's set down in the South, right?
Yep, it's set in the South, in New Orleans, Louisiana, in the 1950s.
And so, voodoo and...
Yeah, voodoo, magic, a bunch of supernatural elements, you know. As we go on, we get to see the powers that they have. Yeah, the swamp sirens are very... They're awesome.
And spooky. I've read
very.
To see one. Very, very spooky.
Very.
And to go back to inclusiveness for a minute, and something else that you're examining in the book, and you mentioned, you know, writing it as a way to kind of deal with your own pain. Unfortunately, another way a lot of us can feel included or part of the same group is domestic violence, and whether we've been touched by it personally. Sorry. Or we know someone who has. It's very important to know that we're not alone, right?
Yeah. That was something that I wrote in Juke Joint, that it's not your fault. Like, that scene was extremely important because I believe that it was my fault. Like, if I would have made dinner earlier, I wouldn't have been punched in my face, right? If I would have cleaned the house, he wouldn't have slapped me, right? So it's all my fault. And I wanted to tell not just the story of, hey, it's not your fault, but I wanted the readers to know that it's not your fault. It is nothing you could have done. You could have done everything right, and something still would have happened, right? So it's not your fault. And you're not alone. It's a quiet, it's a secret. You know, nobody wants to talk about it. When we get beat, at least I know when I got beat, I put makeup on to cover my bruises, right? So, you know, throwing shades on, like, you're not alone, but people just don't want to talk about it. And I just wanted, like, the trigger warning page. I wanted people to know that, hey, this is what we're about to do. You can read it or you can not read it, but I want you to know what is going on in this story so that you are not triggered. You are bracing yourself, right, that you know something is about to happen. So that was important for me to add the trigger page. It was important to have all of these, you know, all of these sayings in the book, that you're not alone, that it's not your fault. Because as a domestic violence survivor, you always think that it's your fault, always. Or he won't do it again. So we, even though we have the story of the swamp sirens who kill people, we also have the story of a woman who is just tired of being beaten and assaulted and her kid assaulted. And she wants to do something to change, but she feels like she's trapped in the situation and she cannot get out.
Yeah, it's a common feeling, and you know, for those of us, and speaking from experience, I think it's a good lesson to tell those people that maybe it's not happening to them directly, but it's happening to somebody that they care about. Whether that's a sister, an aunt, or whoever. And so take a lesson from this story to make sure you're letting the person you care about know that they're not alone.
Yep. Like, I hope when somebody is reading this, if they are going through a domestic violence situation, that they're like, girl, why don't you just leave him? And then it'll click in their head that, oh, snap, this is my story, this is my life, you know? If Juke Joint can get somebody to leave the person who's abusing them, I would be the happy happiest person in the world. I don't care how many books I sold, right? I know in comics it's all about the numbers, right? But for me, for this book, it's about helping people. Mike Hawthorne's cover, the proceeds are going to a domestic violence foundation, right? That is important to me.
Right.
Not how many books I sold, because I'm helping people. I'm telling the story, yes, but I'm helping people. And that means more to me than anything. Than anything. Because there's so many people who need help, right? They need that push. They need that nudge. They need to find out that, hey, it is okay. You're going to be okay, right? Because 1 in 4 women and 1 in 3 men get abused. Somebody is raped every 20 minutes. Like, this shit has got to stop. So I just hope that this book is therapeutic for others like it was for me.
Now, you could have chosen a lot of different genres and styles to tell this story in, because unfortunately it is so, you know, ubiquitous and we all can relate to it. What made you choose to tell it as a horror story?
If I had the opportunity to kill the last person who abused me and it wouldn't get traced back to me, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Wow.
In a fucking heartbeat. Right? Because I was hurt, right? I have scars on my body for the rest of my life, right? I want revenge. I want revenge so bad that I can fucking taste it. But I know that I would go to jail. And I'm not beating jail, right?
Yeah.
But in my head, in the juke joint world, oh, I am killing and slicing and dicing the shit out of you, right? So yeah, I wanted to do horror. That's pretty much it.
Now, did you have to do a lot of research? Were you familiar with the period, voodoo, and the South, and all that?
Yep, I'm familiar with it. I definitely did a lot of research. I was just in New Orleans a few months ago, so I was doing research there. So yeah, I you know, even though it does have voodoo aspects, you'll see as the book goes along that it's not just voodoo. There's also some other, hopefully some people picked up on it while reading the book. I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, there's other supernatural elements and beings besides just voodoo. I really hope people picked up on what's going on. Maybe in issue 2 it would be a little bit clearer, I'm hoping, but yeah, it's not just voodoo happening.
All right, so stay tuned, everybody. That was actually going to be my next question, if there's anything you wanted to tease. So stay tuned for some other supernatural aspects.
Yes.
Coming in issue 2.
In issue 2, yes. Definitely. There's a lot of, Well, we find out what happened to Heloise's husband, right? Because all you saw was blood on the window. And there was a creepy tree in the background.
Yeah.
So you get to find out what happened to him. And you get to see definitely more killing, a lot of killing, a lot of torture, all that good fun stuff.
Now, who's your artist that you're collaborating with?
Aliva Martinez. She's done World of Wakanda, Black Panther. She's done work for Archie, Batgirl. A lot of DC and Marvel stuff. She's doing superb on Lion Forge right now. And Taylor Esposito is the letterer. Again, I love Taylor. Taylor's letters are just superb. He's amazing. He's actually lettering Bingo Love Volume 2. He's so badass. He has a story. He lettered a story in the Jackpot Edition that's coming out. I love that man. That man's letters are phenomenal. And then you have Shari Chankama on colors, and she's just, I don't know. She's just phenomenal. She really is.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners?
Please pick up Juke Joint. Subscribe to it. Bingo Love is coming out in November 13th. The other Bingo Love is coming out in 2020, so got a little bit of weight. money. Hopefully we make it and the world doesn't explode, right? But that is about it. Keep your hands to yourself and respect everybody.
Yeah, right? That's always good advice.
It's always good advice. You know, consent matters. You know, and believe women. Believe survivors.
Yeah. Great. So if any of our listeners want to follow along on social media, where's the best place to find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Ms. M-I-Z-T-E-E Franklin. That's Ms. T. Franklin on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Great. And I'll put links to T's social media in the show notes, everybody, so you can go look there and find it. Great. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.